the mental part is obviously the biggest obstacle that I will tell anyone that they will ever face in sports. You know, the physical part is difficult, yes, but it's always the mental struggles that I feel limit us the most. And once we break through those mental barriers, we often find that our physical barriers are way larger than we thought that they would be. Or, you know, way farther, you know, we have no limits, as long as we can push through our mental barriers.
Well, hello there, friends. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Wisdom of the Wilderness. Today is a really special episode. I got the chance to record with Heidi Jorgensen. Heidi is another, air quote, random coincidence, of which there are no coincidences. So if for whatever reason, we met at Javelina 100 in 2022 at mile 76, as she was pacing a friend of hers. Long story, we reconnected at this year's Javelina, and I ended up pacing her for the last 20 miles of her sub-24-hour 100-miler finish, which was incredible to be a part of. We had a great conversation out in Tempe, Arizona, and on that note, we were recording at Tempe Town Lake, which is a gorgeous setting. A heron flew by, and we're also directly under the flight path of the airport, so you will hear some plane noise in the background. That was poor planning on my part, but it was a great episode. It was a beautiful sunny day when we recorded, and we had a lot of fun doing this. Heidi is very wise and has really put a lot of effort into her passions and into bringing her dreams into a reality. So we talk about a number of things. We talk a lot about her athletic background and how she got into being a Ninja Warrior contestant, being an ultra runner, being a sponsored OCR athlete. And we then go into some of the mindset work she's done, some of the training she's done, how one balances big commitments in training with life and work and being married. We talk about, yeah, the concept of work, what she's done with mindset, and she's got some great book recommendations. I will link in the show notes. We also then go into a story about my 100-miler DNF last year and melting a puffy jacket at an aid station. Yeah, super fun. But lots of good stuff here, lots of things, and yeah, she's such an inspiration, and she's going to be going through and going for some big goals in 2024. It was a ton of fun to record. There will be a bunch of links in the show notes, some of the book recommendations she has, and there is a podcast where you can hear more about how we connected originally. It's on the Gremlin Talk podcast by our mutual friend Mac. Was Mac Smith, now it's Mac Reagan. So I'll have that link there, and you can check that out for some more behind the scenes stuff of all the fun stuff that happens when you're pushing your body to the limits. But without further ado, we will let you get to the episode here. And as always, if you get a chance, give me a 5-star review, make some comments on the posts, and share it with your friends, because the more that we can inspire people, the more people get out there, and the more people connect with nature and do hard things. All right, friends, have a wonderful day, and this is coming out on Christmas, so Merry Christmas to y'all. Hey, friends, we are here recording once again from Tempe Town Lake in Phoenix, Arizona, where there are airplanes flying directly overhead, so pardon the interruption. And I'm here with my friend Heidi, and I'm just going to pass the phone to you, and you can tell us about yourself, because Heidi is an amazing runner that crushed it at Javelina 100, and I had the privilege of pacing the last 20 miles of her sub-24-hour 100-miler. So congratulations. Don't mind that plane.
Hi, guys. It's Heidi. I am new to the Arizona area, and I just started working for AeroViper Running. I'm on their event crew and printing production, and it has been life-changing to work for them. Love getting to be more involved in the running community here in Arizona. A little bit about me. I originally am from Utah and moved down here just over a year ago. Oh yeah, my husband's down here in Arizona going to medical school, so I joined him here. I've been running since probably around 2018. I first got into OCR Spartan races, And I started racing pro for them around 2021 and have been doing it since then. But I did kind of take a break a little bit this year, but hoping to get back into it next year. I'm sure we'll go more into that. But also kind of got into the ultra scene at the same time, and have ran some 50Ks and 50 milers. And just as Greggy said, got into my first 100 miler this past October. And one more thing about me is that I also compete on American Ninja Warrior, kind of fun. I've been on it for the past 3 years, so you can watch me there. But that's been a really fun part of my life that I never thought I'd be able to do before.
Wow. Okay, and here I am being like, you're the air quote random person that asked me to pace at Javelina and look at all these cool things you're doing. A number of questions, but how does one become a professional OCR racer? Like, how did you get into being a Ninja Warrior and all that fun stuff?
Yeah, so I guess we'll take it back to my childhood a little bit. I grew up doing gymnastics and competing in rock climbing, and I always knew that I just wanted to be really strong and just kind of like make a name for myself somehow. I always had big goals and big dreams, whether it was going to the Olympics for gymnastics or rock climbing. Obviously those didn't happen, but you know, I've adapted and made new dreams for myself. But I also, in high school, just remember I would always watch American Ninja Warrior, and I thought one day to myself, you know what, I want to be on that when I'm old enough, because you weren't allowed to apply until you were 21. And so when I first decided to apply, I found a gym in my area, and they were brand new. It was, yeah, there weren't that very many around. But I just started training, and quickly, with my gymnastics and rock climbing background, got really good at it. I always say that ninja's the baby of rock climbing and gymnastics. It's like the perfect combination of the two. So, I just excelled really quickly. Started within Utah as a pretty competitive state, but I ended up placing first at most comps, or, you know, second or third as well. And so then I got on for my first year. I fell on balance, so that was actually really sad. But then I got on another year, and I made it to the fifth. And then my third year actually hasn't been aired yet. It'll be airing in June. Oh, I can't spoil it. Sorry, everyone, but it'll be pretty exciting. So I'll probably keep everyone updated on, you know, if you'll see me there or not. So it'll be fun.
Cool. And while I'm thinking about that, how can people follow you in this amazing journey of watching you do handstands all around the world and being like, wow, maybe one day I can do a handstand?
Yeah, so Heidi K. Jorg is my handle all across all platforms. Not that I have that many, basically just Instagram and TikTok. But yeah, you guys can follow me along there.
Cool. Well, thank you for sharing all of that. So you've been active, you got into sports. You then decided you're going to run 100 miler, or did this involve someone that we both know at last year's Javelina that got you into deciding to do this year's Javelina?
Yes. Shout out to Mac Smith. Now Mac Reagan, actually. another funny story.
No part in that whatsoever.
No part, but you know, we also both claim 12% credit for that. Mm-hmm. So obviously no one just wakes up and says, I want to do 100 miles without having ever ran before. I mean, maybe you have if you're David Goggins, but I believe that, you know, ultra running is kind of, it's very addicting. You know, you slowly start running, and then you add a little bit more miles, and then a little bit more, and next thing you know, you're running 100 miler, and you're like, how did I get here? I definitely didn't I never thought I would run 100 miles. You know, I grew up in high school saying I hate running, but with Spartan races, I was doing 50Ks and then also doing some 50 milers. And then last year I was pacing my friend Mac at Javelina 100. It was her first ever 100 miler, and she really inspired me to want to do 100 the next year. So I decided to make Javelina 100 my first 100 as well.
Nice. Yeah, and congratulations to you, and congratulations to Mac, because we met when Heidi was pacing Mac at an aid station at mile 76 of 200, and it shocked the living bejesus out of me when Mac came back at mile 96 and started harassing me about urging her to continue in her race. So, hooray, and congratulations.
Yes.
Yes. Wow, so you've done 100, you've done lots of stuff, you're super athletic. What are the challenges you face when you're out there doing your athletic endeavors, whether it's training for Ninja Warrior, training for 100, staying motivated in 100? Like, what's been the obstacles that you have battled through to get to where you are?
Yeah, so I mean, the mental part is obviously the biggest obstacle that I will tell anyone that they will ever face in sports. You know, the physical part is difficult, yes, but it's always the mental struggles that I feel limit us the most. And once we break through those mental barriers, we often find that our physical barriers are way larger than we thought that they would be. Or, you know, way farther, you know, we have no limits, as long as we can push through our mental barriers. So yeah, growing up, I mean, gymnastics, everyone knows very well that gymnastics is a perfectionist sport. You know, you want to get the perfect score on beam or bars. And I grew up wanting to be very perfect in everything. So getting into rock climbing and ninja and running, I wanted to be very perfect. And so that was a really difficult thing to try to overcome and to accept that I am enough with the effort that I give, and that not every effort is going to be 100%. Sometimes, you know, some days you'll have 80% or 40%, but as long as you are consistent and keep showing up, that your efforts will be enough, and not doubting your abilities either. You know, just being confident that what you are doing today and right now is helping you towards your goals.
That's awesome. And what does your training look like? Like, when you were training for Javelina, were you also the 100 mile, were you also doing ninja training, gymnastics training, all the things, or do you segment stuff? Yes, that's the first question.
All right. Yeah. So, I definitely had to cut back on some of my training. Like the last month, I didn't do any ninja training just because I really needed to focus. I was, you know, peaking for my 100 miler. And so I, you know, was doing runs more than 10 miles. And, you know, on my weekends, I was doing 30 mile runs. So definitely I needed to take time to recover, which I had to remind myself, you know, the skills that I had in climbing and ninja aren't going to go away. They might just not be a priority right now. You know, they'll take a bit of a backseat while I'm focusing on this really big goal, but they'll always still be there. And, you know, definitely after the 100, I did notice like having a little bit less strength in those areas, but, you know, I just have to remind myself that those are things that are easily built back up again. And, you know, it's been a month and a half and I feel like I'm back to where I was prior to peaking in 100 mile training. But for the most part, I do try to just keep a balance of doing running and ninja and climbing all together.
Awesome. Awesome. And then are you able to share the next things you're training for in any realm of life? And we also respect your confidentiality and whatever non-disclosures you have for Ninja Warrior.
Yes, exactly. Sorry, but you guys can again follow my handle to see any updates on that, which I hope to compete on future seasons. So always keep an eye out for that. And as far as running, I do have some plans to do 200 or 300s this year, give or take, depending on what I can get into, and obviously depending on how training goes. I've got my eyes currently on Leadville 100 right now. I'm in the lottery. I don't find out until January 8th, so I'm really crossing my fingers, and a lot of my schedule is kind of being held off until then to find out, you know, what my schedule will look like. If I don't get into that, I would like to do Mogollon Monster in September. Also would really like to do Javelina again to try to get sub 20. That would be like a really big goal of mine. And then also kind of have my eyes on Across the Years, which is a race that happens between December 28th and January 3rd. So I would probably do that in the years 2024 to 2025. And there's a myriad of distances, but just kind of looking into probably maybe the 200 miler, or because I kind of want to start getting into that. Okay. Yeah, I know. I really would love to do a 200. I mean, we'll talk about this, but during Javelina, while I was running it, I think it was when you were pacing me actually, and I may looked like I was dying, but in my head I was like, I want to run a 200 miler. Like, I was really loving my experience. So I know I'm a little bit crazy. So yeah, that's kind of my plans. For OCR, I do want to go to France in July to do the Spartan World Championships. So hoping to do that, and also do a couple of Savage races, which is just another OCR company. A little bit more on the technical side for obstacles, which is kind of exciting to me. So yeah.
Okay. Awesome. And, tell us about your Javelina experience. How did that all go, and what was it like to be out there? You ran in the day, you ran in the dark. We finished at whatever it was, 3-something in the morning, 2-something in the morning. I don't remember. It was almost before 1 o'clock. I remember that.
Yes.
But yeah, how was your 100-mile race experience in Phoenix in October at 80-something degrees?
Yeah, October at 86 degrees. Like, I was really hoping that would be a joke, but no, Arizona is hot even in October. Yeah, honestly, the worst part of Javelina was the recovery. Like, every other part of Javelina was so surreal. I just couldn't believe I was actually out there. Like, I can't even tell you. I had stressed about this race so much, doubted if I could even run 100 miles, if that was possible. And then I was there and I just put my head down and I ran, you know. And the second lap was very hard because it was in the sun, full exposure, 86 degrees. I definitely would not have survived were it not for the ice baths and ice that all the aid stations offered. By the third lap, the sun started going down and it started cooling off a little bit, which felt really nice. And the fourth lap, I picked up my husband. He paced me for 20 miles. Which actually, funny story, he cramped like the last mile, and so I ditched him. So I always rub that in his face that I was at like mile 60, or no, I was at like mile 80, right? And I was beating him after he had ran 20 miles. So that was a little fun way to rub it in.
Yes, I remember sitting at the tent. Josh had texted me when you left the aid station, and we're sitting there, and then like you ran in and like, where's Josh? I'm like, oh, Josh is somewhere back on the course, he's cramping. I'm like, okay.
yep. So he used to be a really big runner, but not so much anymore. So I'm very proud of him for running 20 miles with me. So yeah, then the last lap I ran with Greggy, I was really hurting, you know, my quads. It's very rolling hills and my quads were feeling that for sure. But he kept a really good pace, and I don't think I could have gone as fast that last lap, honestly, if it had just been me. He ran probably like 10 or 15 feet ahead of me, you know, like, so it wasn't like you were really with me, but you were someone I could like pinpoint and keep up with, you know? So it was like really helpful to just, you know, be like, all right, keep Greggy inside, just keep running, you know, just stay close to him. So it was really so helpful. And it was so surreal crossing the finish line. I did run with my friend Megan for the first lap. She's on the Air Viper running team. And she crushed it. She finished it in sub 20. So she was there at the finish line waiting for me. And it was an awesome accomplishment to finish that together.
Yeah, we're all so happy at the finish line. It was so cool to be out there and blinding people going the wrong way with my waist light. It was, yeah, that was a super cool experience. Thank you very much. You do a lot of training. How do you fit all of your training into your work schedule? Or is it like training is a lifestyle and work goes around that? I know lots of people listening are probably doing endurance stuff or pondering it. And that's a big question of, oh my God, do I have to train for 35 hours a week? How does that work? And what does that look like for you?
Yeah, so I always tell people, one of my pet peeves probably is when people tell me about their dreams or their goals or how they wish they could do it or they wish they could do that. And I just want to say, why don't you? You know, if you wish you could do it, then you can make it happen. I think it's all about making the things that you want to do in your life a priority. You know, work is a means to an end for me. It is a way to help me live, you know, to provide for me. But working out and being with my family are my priorities. So I will put them first and everything else will work out around it. Not that you have to train, you know, for 35 hours a week. That's just what I wanted to do. So I found how to, you know, create a work-life balance where I worked so that I could provide for myself and my family, and also train and have the life that I wanted.
Awesome. And when you're looking at goals or your life, like, do you do visualizations or any non-just running thing to decide I'm going to go after this goal? Like, you're a gymnast, you want to try and get to the Olympics. Yeah, like vision boards or journals or any cool stuff like that, or it just happened as a coincidence?
I don't necessarily do a ton of visualization. I do imagine, you know, myself running 100 miles because I do think it's important to be able to have the confidence in yourself and see that. So I do try to always, you know, have the confidence that I can do something and portray that. I read a lot of audiobooks, lots and lots of audiobooks, a lot about running and a lot about mindset. Some of my favorites, sorry, I'm going to wait for this airplane to pass overhead. It's a little loud. Or those airplanes should have just detoured from. Yeah, they should know that we're trying to record something. Yes. So How Bad Do You Want It by Matt Fitzgerald is probably one of my favorites. And The Champion's Mind. Those are two books that I would really recommend if you're kind of looking into the mental side of preparing for an ultra marathon. Probably the other thing that I did that I felt like really benefited me was seeing the everyday challenges in your life and applying them to ultra running. At the time when I was training for my ultra, I was in a pretty tough job. I was working from 8 to 8 most days. So it was a long time, and I was working with kids. So I would come home just drained every day because, you know, you have to keep a happy smile on your face the whole time, which can be a little exhausting. And I just remember telling myself, you know what, this is good ultra training. You know, you're working for 12 hours a day with kids. Like, you're going to have to run 100 miles. You're going to have the mental strength to push through things for a long time. So use this as training for your 100. And so I just took the things I was struggling with in my life and figured out how I could apply them to training and racing.
Wow, good plan. And that must have made a big difference to move to a different job and not be drained the entire time. I can see it being very beneficial, and as someone who gets a lot of time on feet, that can be very challenging. It's great training, but to have like a positive attitude and be around fun people doing fun things can make a huge, huge difference.
Yes.
So, yeah, good for you for following what feels good and not sticking with something that's not beneficial for the long term.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, and then what are some, do you have any longer term goal, like medium term or longer term, say the next 5 years of stuff you want to do, want to see? Take it whatever direction you'd like, bucket list stuff, races.
Okay.
I don't know, throw rocks in the river.
Yes, you know, I'm really bad at skipping rocks, so I'll add that to my 5-year goal to skip rocks across the river. It might take me that long.
A little river.
A little river. We'll start small. Yes. So, I mean, I mentioned briefly already, but within the next 5 years, I really want to kind of get into some 200 milers. I really would love to do the Triple Crown of Ultras, which is the Bigfoot 200, Moab 240, and Tahoe 200. That would be an ideal, like, A race or A year for me. I really, again, want to improve in ultra running, and hopefully I've got a sponsorship with Speedland currently, and hope to continue finding more athletic sponsorships, and just trying to be the best athlete I can be. You know, again, I don't think that we should limit ourselves to what we can or can't do. I think that the possibilities are endless. So, you know, I just want to see how far I can go in the sport, whatever that may look like for me. And then I would also like to run some road marathons. And my big goal is to run a sub-3-hour marathon. So I'll be training for that in the next 5 years. So, yeah.
Particular one you're looking at?
Well, I really want to do, I mean, I want to qualify for Boston Duck because the sub-3 is Boston qualifier. But then, so before I do that, I've kind of looked into like Big Bear Marathon or some race in Utah because there's amazing canyons with amazing marathons. So probably one of those. Yeah, so that's kind of one of my goals.
Wow. And how's it affected when you go and travel, do these things, like being in Utah and then being here in Arizona in the desert? When you go are you traveling to, I don't know, Thailand or somewhere else hot and humid like Florida, where you're dealing with that? Because I know, as someone who grew up in the humid and cold, to come to the desert, I love it, but I am adapted to it. Most people where I grew up are like, what is wrong with you? Have you had any challenges in dealing with different environments, whether it is in travel or it is for competing?
Yeah, honestly, moving here to Arizona was really hard. I'm not a heat racer. Like, when it gets hot, like 75 degrees hot, I am melting. I get like delirious in the heat. Like, I feel like I get so sleepy and my eyes get droopy and I just want to like lay on the trail and curl up and take a nap. And so that, I am a really good cold racer. You know, being from Utah, we're at high elevation, the winters are really cold, and you really only get like maybe 3 months of like summer weather, I guess, maybe even less. I know that we've gotten snow in June before, so it can get pretty cold there. And I really enjoy the cold, so that's kind of my preference. So just knowing, like, if I go to a humid place to take in more electrolytes, you know, if I'm also in the heat, more electrolytes, because, you know, cold running, you don't necessarily need as much because if you're not sweating. So just trying to adapt, you know, nutritionally, for the differences in weather. Yeah.
Figure it out. Plan as you go. Everything is going to be good. Yeah. What did I write down here earlier? Survive with ice baths. Nope, that wasn't it. Oh yeah. Use life as training for the challenges in your life as training for ultra marathons. So yeah. That is some very sage advice. And oh, personal question that I'm curious about. How did you meet Mac? Because you both do, or this is Mac Smith, Mac Reagan, that was Heidi's runner at Javelina last year, who is currently doing her PhD in engineering something or others in CU Boulder. How did you two connect? Because that was a really cool experience.
Yeah. Well, we met through OCR. So she started doing them like 2021, I think. And we are both in the same age group, but I never saw her at any races. She won like the 2021 Tahoe North American Championships in her age group. And I had decided to race elite at that race. And I remember seeing her post and I was like, no way, like, because our times, like, actually I would have gone first if I had done age group, but I saw her time and I was like, oh, that's amazing, like, that was so cool. And so that's when she kind of got on my radar, and I didn't actually meet her, that was in September, I didn't meet her until January, but that's like, I saw her and I was like, oh wow, that's really cool, because she also connected with a lot of my other Utah friends at that race. And so anyways, yeah, when it came time in January, we did a race in Santa Barbara and I met her and we just became really good friends. And then we saw each other at races after that. And, you know, she's actually from Arizona originally. So when I moved down here, she was like, oh, I'm doing Javelina 100. And I was actually going on the AZT for a little bit, but then I came off and she's like, well, do you want to pace me at Javelina? And I was like, of course, because that, who wouldn't want to do that? It's so fun. And so, yeah, that's how it happened.
Okay. Awesome. And on the AZT note, are you going to be through hiking or section hiking the AZT? Is that a goal? And by AZT, the Arizona Trail, which goes from Mexico to Utah through Arizona, 800 and some odd miles. And it's absolutely gorgeous. So you should not check it out because I want to go do it. keep it empty for me.
Yes, I know. Now I'm thinking of all these goals for the next 5 years. So yeah, just to tack on to my goals, definitely want to hit the AZT within the next 5 years and finish that. I was on it for about 2 weeks. Incredible experience. Really hard though, because I got rained on for like the last 4 days and it got a little miserable. I had like a wet tent, wet sleeping bag. So I knew I just needed to hop off and regroup a little bit. Yeah, so I want to do that. PCT is also on the goal in the next 5 years. And do some traveling too. Also, I'm gonna interrupt you real quick because I didn't say this when I did the marathons, because people probably are gonna think it's weird that I've never ran a road marathon, but I've ran like 100 miler and 200. I don't know.
I don't think it's weird.
Okay, you don't think it's weird?
No.
I've talked to a lot of people who think it's crazy. So I guess I just thought I'd explain it a little bit.
My first ultra attempt was 100 miler and I caught my jacket on fire at an aid station.
I wanna hear that story about how you get your jacket on fire.
Yes. Okay, so I was attempting Dead Man Peaks, and I don't know if it's 100 miler anymore. In 2022, it was 100 miler in November at high elevation, Cuba, New Mexico. It's absolutely gorgeous. It is a double out and back, so you go out. Well, the first out and back is 53 miles, and somehow when I was distracted deciding what I was going to do and try and figure out, and an aid station volunteer was like, don't go to your truck, I'll go to your truck for you, what do you need? And I was trying to explain where stuff was and that didn't work. I had my puffy coat on because it went down to below freezing, and I was sitting in a chair somewhere near a heater, and I forgot I was sitting near a heater, so I went to put my jacket on like and sling it like right arm in and then sling it around, and I was like, there's a weird smell in here. And I looked and like my jacket was smoldering and the left arm was all melted. It's in my truck, I can show you. I just use like black repair tape and it's mostly still good, but that was my attempt. So I did a road marathon years ago and whatever, it was okay, but it was way more fun to go there. And then this guy named Cliff is like, why aren't you drinking a beer? You should be drinking a beer. Here, have a beer. And I had a beer at mile 53 and then walked out of the desert, and it didn't go well after that.
That is an adventure, man. The stories that people like accumulate from ultra running, you just know that you live a lifetime in an ultra, I feel like.
Yes.
You know,
there are
many highs, so many lows, so many experiences. Like, people don't understand until they've done it themselves.
Yeah, and you don't know what impact you'll have on somebody's race just by running them, like encouraging somebody, or
AKA Mac.
AKA
thanks,
Mac.
Greg.
Yes. You're welcome. Yeah, or like a volunteer says something and you keep going, or there's other runners on the course. You're just like, cool, like nice work. You're looking good. Like, oh, hey, do you need me to hold your hair while you're puking? Whatever it might be. Like,
whatever.
You can always be kind.
Yes. Yeah. That's one thing I love about the ultra running community is just how people are such good friends with each other. Like, they're, you know, of course it's a race. You're going to try to beat people and try to pass people, but there's no like animosity, and everyone is just like always willing to help each other. You know, it's like, yeah, you're my competitor, like we could be first and second, but I'll hold your hair back for you while you throw up, and then I'll pass you and I'll say yeah, see you later, you know. But yeah, you guys are good friends and you're always gonna help and have someone's back.
Yeah, that's right. The community is very open, and when we're hanging out here waiting for the holiday party to start in about an hour, like, it's going to be tons of people, and it's people that neither of us really knew, but you never know who's going to show up and be like, hey, can you come and support me at this race, and I'll come and do this for you, and then all of a sudden their shoes show up and all these other fun things. And
yeah, I mean, I couldn't have imagined that you would pace me at Javelina. Like, I didn't even know you would be there, you know. I show up to work and you're volunteering, and we're like,
you're familiar.
And we're like, I know you from somewhere. And then you ended up pacing me, you know. It's just, funny how things come to be. And now, you know, we're good friends and we talk all the time. And so, yeah, we're going to get you a job at Aravipa. So, yeah. Yes, exactly.
There's a heron. Okay, a heron just flew by. Can you see that?
Yeah, can you guys see it?
Yeah, so there's a heron that just flew by because we're recording on this giant lake in Tempe where I think there's Iron Man swim. I think Iron Man,
yeah,
goes
Iron Man
lake.
Comes through.
I've also heard it's gross and not to swim in it.
So, agreed, yeah.
We're not going in, but there are people in the water, and it's a beautiful Arizona sunset.
Yeah, and you guys are also, yeah, I was just going to say, you're missing the beautiful sunset right now.
Use your imagination.
Yep. Beautiful pink and orange clouds.
How does, okay, that's a question. How does Arizona compare? Like, now that you've been here like a year or
so? Yeah, a little over a year.
What's it? What do you miss about Utah, but what also have you grown to love about Arizona?
Yeah, well, Arizona, first and foremost, has the most incredible sunsets and sunrises. There is no other state I've been to that has such beautiful sunrises and sunsets. I do miss Utah a lot for their mountains. I'm an alpine mountain kind of girl. Like, being in the desert is definitely a change. And, you know, and being around in Arizona, the first year I was here was honestly pretty hard. I did miss Utah a lot. I think it was a combination of being in my job. Now that I've found a job I really love and have kind of started to build more of a community here, I really am starting to like Arizona a lot more. Just the beautiful weather, sunrises, landscape. It's a nice place to be.
Yeah, I agree. It's one of the coolest places. If y'all haven't been, there's tons of podcasts I just listened to talking about how awesome it is. But it is gorgeous, especially this time of year. If you live somewhere where there's 17 feet of snow and it's December 20th, the solstice is tomorrow, and you're sitting in a tank top and shorts and it's 76 degrees recording as the sun sets, it's pretty awesome. I will also concede that there are many people who love the snow and love shoveling and love skiing. And as a now retired skier, yes, I get that. But yeah, being in shorts and a t-shirt, I love that year round. So life goal, never wearing pants again.
Never wearing pants again.
Wait, after the Christmas party.
Yes. Yeah, I definitely agree. I do love the snow, cross country skiing, like hiking in the snow. But yeah, this weather is pretty legendary. Sorry, just to, we'll go back to my 26.2 marathon. So to explain it finally, so I am cheesy and I'll be turning 26 in the year 2026. And so, yeah, that's why I wanted to do a marathon, because it all aligned. So I had to do it. So that's why I've never done a marathon before.
Okay. Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
And you could even pick one near your birthday.
Exactly. Here's the thing. Maybe you can tell me if this is a good idea or not. I've also considered doing 26 marathons.
When you're 26.
When I'm 26. The year 2026. But my birthday's in September.
Okay.
So I only have like 3 months to run 26 marathons.
Ooh.
That's kind of rough.
Is that enough for you?
It's not enough weeks.
Distance, right?
I just have to do the distance.
I mean, you could do some cool loops, like rim to rim would be
Be 50,
rim
right?
Rim to rim could almost be one, depending which way you went.
Yeah.
Humphrey, you could make so many cool loops out of that in 3 months when it's not face of the sun high.
Yeah, like I don't think I would have to do exactly like road marathons, but just some sort of, you know, marathon.
So. Yeah, I mean, you could do a backpacking one.
Yeah.
That's an awesome idea.
Yeah, so I don't know.
You should promote this.
I mean, yeah, I like to be kind of cheesy that way. I also run my age, you know, every birthday, just because it's a fun way to keep fitness and exercising fun, you know?
Yeah.
Always keep things fun. That's the number one rule.
Yeah, it makes life way easier and way better and way, well, I can't use fun. I'm going to use fun, but yeah. And that's like a big unsolicited life tip too. Like, have fun doing stuff. There are so many people I just drove by in this massive metropolitan area who are not having fun. Be kind and be playful. Make things less serious. There are way too many things that you could worry about. Have fun and relax. Chill.
Yeah.
Watch the sunset at the lake. Look at the clouds. Wow. Not distracted at all.
It's too short to not have fun and to not do what you want, you know, with your life. So don't take things seriously and just do what you want.
Yeah.
YOLO, yeah. You know?
Yes.
How long ago was that?
Oh wow. I don't even know these things. I'm looking at you as the younger generation here.
I know.
What's this TikTok you speak of? Wow. I guess, yeah, one to wrap up or so. What, looking back now, you'll be 26 in a few years. Looking back, is this something you thought in the realm of possibility when you had all those dreams and goals where you are now? Is it more than you envisioned, less?
I will say, like, I feel like my life is more full than I could have imagined. And I would have never imagined that I would be doing these things.
Okay.
You know, it just, you know, I don't think you should, I guess, you know, another life lesson out there is be adaptable, you know. A lot of, you know, growing up and I did gymnastics and rock climbing, I had a certain way that I wanted to do things. But when things don't go or you see an opportunity or a door open up, like, don't be afraid to change your goals or change your path. You know, if I hadn't decided to pursue obstacle course racing or ultramarathon running, you know, it can be scary to change your goals and to follow a different path than what you originally thought. But a lot of times it ends up being something greater than you ever, like, could have imagined, you know. And I think that it takes a lot of courage and bravery to do something different. But I think that we should all try to, you know, go outside our comfort zone with a lot of things. So,
yeah, that is very sage advice. And there was something I posted on Instagram earlier today, very similar to that effect. Something about the, I wonder if I can figure out how to not cancel this recording and look at, oh wait, you could do this for
me. I can do this for you.
This is great. There are people that are doing things. Oh, hey, look, there's a friend of mine and there's a friend of mine. But yeah, that is perfect. It's like a little synchronicity from the universe. It's in my story.
Oh, story.
Yeah. I hope it's still up there. There we go. What is it? Some of the best things that will happen in your life will not be on your schedule. And yeah, that is super true. That is, yeah, very, very applicable. So yeah, maybe ponder that, consider that. There's always opportunities out there and you never know when they might show up or how they might show up. And sometimes you turn around and walk into a situation and a year later end up recording with your new friend in Tempe.
Right?
Hi, your runner looks like she's in trouble. Yeah. Anything else you'd like to share? We've got your social medias, Heidi K. Jorg, J-O-R-G, and everything. Yeah, you've got the Ninja Warrior stuff that's coming out in June, you said, for the new season,
yeah,
something
well,
like that?
Yeah, it should start airing sometime in June. My episodes typically air in July, though, so I'll keep everyone posted if it airs. That's the other hard part about it is, like, they probably film about 50% of runs that happen. So you never really know if you're going to be on until, like, the week before. So I will update everyone, but we'll see.
Okay. So that means stay tuned and, yeah, follow the Instagram and see. And we'll have to figure out a way to get you on the big screen back at the lake. So I can be like, I know Heidi. You also cheer for Heidi.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you very much, Heidi. We'll wrap this up and we'll catch y'all on another episode. Thanks, friends.
Peace out.
And thank you very much for joining me on today's episode, friends. It is always fun for me to record these, and I do hope you get a lot out of them. As always, if you enjoyed this, please share it with your friends, your family members, your colleagues, your coworkers, your hairdresser, the guy at the restaurant, wherever you're going. I do my best to research these and give a lot of good information, and there's a lot of people out there that can benefit from hearing the stories and also having that perspective shift that can come along with listening. As well, if you get a chance, I do encourage you, it really helps me out if you can leave a 5-star review at the podcast platform you're listening to, as well as maybe even write something. So yeah, if you get a chance, please do that. I prefer Apple Podcasts is how I listen to things, but I know that Stitcher's out there, Spotify's out there, Google Play or Google Podcasts, there's a whole bunch of them. So if you get a chance, please do drop a 5-star rating and leave a review. That would be fantastic. And with that, have a wonderful day, friends. We will catch you on the next episode of The Wisdom of the Wilderness.